The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, how are y'all fantasy football teams doing? It's getting down to the nitty gritty. Playoff time in fantasy football leagues in my ESPN league. I did win last week by over 20 points. So I am now in the championship round. This is also my money league. And the great thing is that even if I come in second place, I still get some cash. So I have moved on to the championship round, which is 2 weeks, so it's not just this week, it's this week and next week. And I am going up against teams serving up 500, so it's Crazy Crackers versus serving up 500. And then in my NFL.com league, since I am the number one overall seed, I did get a bye week last week. And this week, I'm going up against my homie Simon, El Nino squad. Crazy Crackers versus the El Nino squad. And I kicked his ass already twice this season because we're division opponents, so we've gone up against each other twice, but so this is going to be our third time, and I guess third time's going to be the charm for Simon to get his ass kicked yet again. So, that's the fantasy football update. I know you all give a shit, but hey, it's my show. I'll talk about whatever the fuck I want to, especially when I'm the champion, motherfuckers. I am well on my way to possibly winning two leagues. We'll see what happens. All right, now let's get to some real football that matters. The Monday Night Football matchup between the Los Angeles Rams and the Green Bay Packers actually went about as expected. The Baker Mayfield experience has come back down to earth. I know everybody got all excited about last week's game, and hey, it was an impressive game. But overall, this Rams team is awful. And the Green Bay Packers were able to take advantage. They put together some good drives offensively. And it really wasn't all about Christian Watson this time. Romeo Doubs, he got some love from Aaron Rodgers this week. So and then also their ground attack really was really what took care of business this week. But the Packers did end up getting the win 24-12. It just was an overall mess for the Rams in every way, shape, and form. Aaron Rodgers had a very solid game, 22 for 30, 229 yards and one touchdown. And with that loss, the Rams are officially out of playoff contention. They are one of the worst Super Bowl champions basically one of the worst defending Super Bowl champions in the history of the league. They didn't even make the playoffs, so that's pretty pathetic. I mean, I know a lot of injuries had to do with it, but to keep it quite real, I never really believed in the Rams that much. I kind of had a feeling their offensive line was going to be a huge issue, and that's what happened. They also don't have a ground attack, but hey, it's also the NFL, and that's the way shit goes. So they are out of playoff contention. The Packers, they still have a shot. They actually cannot win their division now. The Vikings actually just won the division over the weekend. But they do have an outside shot at a wild card spot. They really need to win out and then get some help. But there are 3 weeks left in the season, and anything can happen. All right, so let's move on to my top 10 NFL power rankings. Not too much of a shakeup in this week's power rankings. It's basically the same teams, maybe jumbled around a little bit. But overall, basically the same thing that we've been rocking with since last week, beginning with number one, Philadelphia Eagles, still got to be flying high. Die, Eagles, die. Oh, they're 13-1. And Jalen Butthurts, he's been, killing it this season. He's got 3,472 passing yards, 22 touchdowns, 5 interceptions. He just added a couple to that, but I mean, whatever. He's got 747 rushing yards and 13 rushing touchdowns. So the dude is just balling. He did hurt his shoulder in the last game, so there's a possibility he may not play this week. But whether he does or doesn't, it doesn't matter. The Eagles have already clinched a playoff spot and looks like they're going to be walking away with this division pretty easily. So I don't think it's really that big of a deal if he sits or plays. Because I mean, really, this team is just an overall good team. I mean, they've got an excellent, they've got great running game. They've got a solid offensive line. They have two top wide receivers and they have a great defense. Right now, the defense has 15 interceptions and 14 forced fumbles. I mean, so they are getting turnovers, like no other right now. So, unfortunately I had to keep the stupid ass Eagles at number one. God, I really hope this stupid fucking team like lays an egg come playoff time so I can laugh at that since I had to talk about how fucking great they were all regular season. Then at number two on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the San Francisco 49ers, overall record of 10-4. And it's really just this team is very complete. I mean, the quarterback position has pretty much been a question for them all season long. And they've been hampered by a ton of injuries too, to some very key guys to their team, and they've been able to overcome each and every one of them. Defensively, they are one of the best in the league right now. Nick Bosa still leads the league in sacks with 15 and a half sacks. Their defense overall has 14 interceptions and 14 forced fumbles. So they're just getting a ton of turnovers. They're getting a lot of sacks, and they're just really holding it down. But then offensively, they're just really efficient. They tend to not turn the ball over that much. And they have some really big playmakers. You know, Christian McCaffrey, he's had a few good games for them. I wouldn't say he's been typical Christian McCaffrey, like had a game where he's really taken over other than the one where he threw for the touchdown, like his second game with the Niners. But overall, I mean, he's very good. He's been solid, but I don't think he's really had a huge Christian McCaffrey game like he has had before with the Carolina Panthers. But regardless, Niners still rocking and rolling and look really good right now at this point in the season, and they are number two this week. Then at number three on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Buffalo Bills, overall record of 11-3, and this team is just rolling. Josh Allen has 3,857 passing yards on the season with 30 touchdowns and 11 interceptions. And I mean, they've really got it going with the ground attack. They finally decided to let Singletary, I can't fucking remember their running back's last name right now because they don't use him as often as they should, but they finally started going his way now. But they're just an overall excellent team, especially on the defensive side of things. They have 13 interceptions on the season, and they're taking care of business right now at all ends of the field. Then at number four on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Cincinnati Bengals, overall record of 10-4, and they are just the hottest team in the league right now. It feels like they can't be stopped. They've had to come back last week against Tom Brady and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They've dominated their division opponents. They've taken out the Kansas City Chiefs. I mean, so this run that the Bengals are on right now is pretty damn good. And I mean, Joe Burrow has been the driving force with them. He's got 3,885 passing yards on the season with 31 touchdowns and 10 interceptions. So he's just balling. And then Ja'Marr Chase, who even missed like a month of football, he's got 881 receiving yards and 8 touchdowns on the season. So even missing that time, he still is racking up the numbers. Their defense, while it's not one of the best in the league, they are getting the job done, especially when it counts. So really, this Bengals squad is picking up right where they left off last season. And while the offensive line is still not that good, it doesn't really matter. They are playing great football right now, and Joe Burrow just is on fire. Then at number five on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Kansas City Chiefs, overall record of 11-3. I mean, really, the Chiefs, they're a solid team. And I mean, Patrick Mahomes, obviously the MVP of the league this year, he leads the league with 4,496 yards, 35 touchdowns, and 11 interceptions. The dude has carried this team like no other. But I, as I've said all season long, I kind of feel like at some point that's going to backfire on them. I could be wrong because, I mean, with the level that Mahomes is playing at this year, it's going to be difficult to stop him. So you're going to need somebody like a Joe Burrow or a Josh Allen to keep up scoring-wise with the Chiefs. But, I mean, other than that, you know, you got Travis Kelce. He's also having a an amazing year. He's got 1,144 receiving yards and 12 touchdowns on the season. So overall, while the Chiefs, they're getting some really ugly wins, they're still getting the wins. I mean, they're 11-3. They just won their division this past week as well, so they're going right back to the playoffs. Seventh division title in a row. So, hey, nothing really bad to say about the Chiefs. It's just the four teams above them, I feel like, are a little bit more solid and are a little bit more well-rounded, whereas the Chiefs are more just all about Patrick Mahomes, which is not a bad thing. Not a bad thing at all. Then at number six on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Dallas Cowboys. Overall record of 10-4. They are coming off of a bad loss, but before that, they were on a five-game winning streak. So, I mean, you're going to lose at some point. Right now, CeeDee Lamb, he is having a great season. He has taken over that number one receiver role and has not looked back. Right now, he's got 1,087 receiving yards on the season and then six touchdowns. And in my personal opinion, I feel like Dak has to start using CD the way that Kirk Cousins uses Justin Jefferson. I feel like sometimes you're just going to have to throw the ball up to CD and let that guy do some work. He is excellent with yards after catch. He's very shifty, similar to Tyreek Hill in that nature. And I just feel like in any critical situation, you need to start leaning towards CD Lamb because the dude is money. And he's been proving it time and again this season. And while I like the rest of our receiving core, CeeDee Lamb is that motherfucking dude. And I just feel like sometimes you just got to go to him, even if he's triple covered. But then also on the defensive side of things, the rookie cornerback Bland has really stepped it up. He's a backup and he's a rookie and he I think he was like a fourth or fifth round pick. So he wasn't even really expected to be anything this year other than depth. The dude has stepped right in. He's locking it down and has four interceptions on the season already. So, it's really nice to see that surprise on the defensive side of things. As well as, I mean, the defense has 19 forced fumbles overall. And then, of course, the beast, Micah Parsons, he has 13 sacks on the season. And he just seems to affect every quarterback that they have played this season. And the Cowboys defense, while they had a lackluster game last week, overall, they're still good defense. And I don't feel like there's anything to worry about with the Cowboys. I still think they're one of the best teams in the league, even though they lost to the Jaguars, because that's the NFL. Then at number seven on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Minnesota Vikings. Overall record of 11-3. In this offense, it's electric. And, obviously we saw that they could score a lot of points, quick. And Kirk Cousins, I mean, you really got to give it up to the dude. For the most part, he's been the laughing stock of the league, other than his bank account. I mean, he's been great at getting really top dollar contracts with guaranteed money. The dude's going to walk away with a lot of money, so he's smart on that end. But other than that, I mean, he's pretty much had lots of stupid follies, and he just hasn't been good in primetime games. But really, this season, he actually has overcome all that narrative, especially last week. I mean, you really can't call him much of a choke artist anymore with that type of a comeback. But on the season, he's got 3,818 passing yards with 24 touchdowns and only 11 interceptions. So he's been pretty efficient this year. Justin Jefferson has now officially taken over receiving yards leader right now. He's at 1,623 receiving yards. By the way, he is one of only like five receivers all time to have two career seasons where he eclipses over 1,500 yards in receiving. He did it last year and he's done it this year. And by the way, this is Jefferson's third year. So this dude's he's on course to be the best receiver in the league, if he already isn't. I mean, he's just balling uncontrollably, but what he's doing right now, it's pretty fucking insane. So, and he's getting better. You know, as the season started, you know, he's got seven touchdowns on the season right now. For the most part, he wasn't really getting a lot of targets in the end zone. He was more just getting the big chunky yardage and making the big plays and getting the first downs. Now the dude is he just seems to get better as the season is rolling on. And even in like triple and quadruple coverage, The guy is, you can't count him out. He's very similar to Calvin Johnson, where Calvin Johnson, if you just threw up the ball to him, there was like a 99.9% chance that dude is coming down with it. And that's basically what's going on with Justin Jefferson. The guy is money. What he's doing right now, it's historic, it's crazy, and this is only the beginning. Then at number 8 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, I have the Los Angeles Chargers, overall record of 8-6. And they seem to have found a way to win. I say that, and then they'll probably lose this week. But so far, you know, they've got two good wins under their belt with this two-game winning streak here. And, you know, Justin Herbert, he is just looking fantastic, especially with this awful offensive line he has. He has been tossing this ball so much that he's now second behind Patrick Mahomes in passing yards with 4,019 passing yards, 21 touchdowns and only 9 interceptions. So the guy is just killing it right now. But also, Austin Eckler on the offensive side of the ball, he's their running back, but he is a Swiss Army knife where he can do it not only on the ground, but he's great in the receiving game as well. So on the ground, he's got 692 rushing yards and 9 rushing touchdowns with 635 receiving yards and 5 receiving touchdowns. So he's very balanced in both the ground and passing attack. So he's a great weapon for the Chargers to have. He's also, he's not really a turnover machine either. So the Chargers offense seems to be getting going. I don't know about their defense. They are missing some dudes. Bosa hasn't come back yet. So I feel like once they get some more guys on defense, they'll be able to lock it down more efficiently. But, I mean, Justin Herbert, with the way this dude's playing, it doesn't really matter. You're pretty much always in the game as long as he's out there playing well. The Chargers are on a pretty decent run for them, at least right now. Then at number 9 on my top 10 NFL power rankings, the Detroit Lions, they're still here this week. As a matter of fact, they moved up a spot. Overall record of 7-7. You know, they're pretty much the hottest team right behind the Bengals. I don't know if I really believe in them. I still think it is an outside shot that they're going to make the playoffs. I don't know if I really believe that they're going to be one of the last teams in, but hey, who knows what's going to happen with this team, but they are playing excellent football right now. Jared Goff still continues to have a crazy season. He's passed for 3,604 yards, 23 touchdowns, and only 7 interceptions. So the dude is not even turning the ball over. He's having an efficient and a really solid year. And they don't even have that great of a receiving core. It's not bad, but I mean, you can't really look at any of their receivers and go, oh yeah, that's a number one dude, like Justin Jefferson, for example. With like no weapons and to be putting up this type of yardage, Jared Goff, man, he's, as I've mentioned before, I used to think this guy was trash, and he has really changed my opinion of him this year as a Detroit Lions quarterback, because if you can excel as a Detroit Lions quarterback at this level, that says a lot, because we all know the Detroit Lions suck. On the ground attack, though, Jamal Williams, this guy has really turned it on. Now, you know, for the Lions for the last couple of seasons, it's all been about their running back, DeAndre Swift. But unfortunately, he keeps getting injured, so he can't really he's in for like 2 games, gets injured for like a month, and he's in for another couple of games, and that's pretty much how his career is gone. But Jamal Williams, he was signed from the Packers in the offseason. And, I mean, he could have easily been a starting running back up in Green Bay, but, of course, they were going with Aaron Jones. So Williams ended up signing with the Lions, and this guy, he has turned into their starting running back. Like, I feel like, hands down, this is their starting running back. I mean, nothing, no shade to DeAndre Swift. He's still a good running back, too, but Williams is that dude. He's got 839 rushing yards in the season, and he currently leads the league right now in 14 rushing touchdowns. So, shout out to Jamal Williams. That guy, I don't think anybody's really talking about him, but if you look at him statistically, he's right up there with all the top running backs in the league. And then defensively, that was kind of their Achilles heel as the season began. But now as the season has worn on, this defense has really just stepped it up. They have 12 forced fumbles on the season, so they're actually getting some turnovers. And we'll see what happens with the Lions if they're able to stay in the top 10. But right now they're rocking at number 9. And then rounding out my top 10 NFL power rankings this week, the Baltimore Ravens. Really, honestly, I kind of feel like they're not even a top 10 team at all anymore. I question a lot about this team, especially with no Lamar Jackson, but even prior to his injury, already was questioned a lot about this team. I respect the hell out of Harbaugh, but they got to get some weapons for Lamar Jackson. And but I mean, they had to stay at 10 just because there really wasn't any other teams I was looking at. Like, oh, yeah, they should be in the top 10. But Ravens are almost out of the top 10 with how bad they've been playing. Although defensively, that's really been what stepped it up. I mean, they started off the season very shaky, not your typical Baltimore Ravens defense, other than the turnovers. But now they've really got it going with the trade of Roquan Smith. He's really been a huge key to this defense. Right now they have 14 interceptions and 12 forced fumbles on the season as a defense. So they look real good right now. But offensively, they were shaky with Lamar Jackson. Doesn't look like he's going to be coming back this week either. So it's going to be another shaky week for the Ravens. And who knows? We'll see if they end up falling out of the top 10 next week. All right, now let's get to the Thursday night football matchup this week. We have the Jacksonville Jaguars at the New York Jets. Right now, the Jets are a 1.5-point favorite, and it looks like Zach Wilson's going to be starting yet again for the Jets. The Jets are, both of these teams are pretty similar, in my opinion, where they're able to get really solid, good wins. They look like a really good team at one point, and then they just lay an egg the following week. The Jets lost a pretty tough one, whereas the Jaguars got a really big win. And so with that being said, I'm going with the Jets just because of how last week went for both of them. You know, the Jets lost a heartbreaker, Jacksonville won in crazy overtime fashion. So I just kind of feel like it's going to be the opposite for both of them this week. I feel like the Jets defense is going to step it up and give Trevor Lawrence some issues. Trevor Lawrence has been one of the best quarterbacks in the league over the last couple of months. He's been he's just been pretty good. You know, he's just been lighting every defense up, although he is prone to turnovers. And I kind of feel like that's what's going to happen in this game is just the Jets defense. They're going to have him running for his life, and he's probably going to have a couple of costly turnovers. And that's going to help the Jets get the win in the end. And I think the Jets will win a close one, 21-17. And so let's take a look at the NFL playoff picture right now. Over in the AFC, right now the number one seed would be the Buffalo Bills. Overall record of 11-3. They have clinched a playoff spot, and right now they lead the AFC East. Then the number two seed would be the Kansas City Chiefs. Their overall record is 11-3. They did just win their division this past week, the AFC West. So they are for sure in the playoffs and also won their division. Then right now the number three seed would be the Cincinnati Bengals at 10-4, currently hold the lead on the AFC North. And then the number four seed would be the Tennessee Titans, barely hanging on to their division, the AFC South. They are at 7-7 right now. And it was also announced today that it's possible Ryan Tannehill is going to miss the rest of this season. He's definitely not going to be playing this week, but there's a good possibility he won't be back at all this season with the ankle injury that he suffered. And that's a big blow to Tennessee, because with the Jaguars surging and the Titans circling the drain, it's possible that they could lose this division. Lucky for them, they did build up a nice little lead with this division. But I don't know. We'll see what happens with these Tennessee Titans if they're able to actually hang on to this lead and make the playoffs. Even if they make the playoffs, though, I don't think it's going to matter, because with no Tannehill, this team has no chance. Then the wild card spots right now in the AFC would be the Baltimore Ravens at 9-5, Los Angeles Chargers at 8-6, and the Miami Dolphins at 8-6. And on the outside looking in would be the New England Patriots and the New York Jets right now. Then turning to the NFC, the Philadelphia Eagles would be the number one overall seed, overall record of 13-1. They have clinched a playoff spot, and right now they lead the NFC East. Then the number two seed would be the Minnesota Vikings. They are 11-3. They also clinched a playoff spot. Actually, they clinched their division as well. They won the NFC North. Then the number three seed would be the San Francisco 49ers, overall record of 10-4. They also won their division, the NFC West, this past week, and so they are in the playoffs. And then the Tampa Bay Buccaneers would be the number four seed. They are 6-8 and holding on to dear life to the NFC South. Basically, the NFC and AFC South, like, nobody wants to win these divisions at this point. And both teams who are hanging on right now are hanging on for dear life. It's crazy to see, but it's fucking true. So we'll see what happens. I kind of expect the Bucs to hang on to this, but I mean, you never know what's going to happen. There's still 3 weeks left. And then holding down the wild card spots in the NFC, the Dallas Cowboys, overall record of 10-4. They have clinched a playoff spot. Then the New York Giants at 8-5-1, and the Washington Commanders at 7-6-1. And on the outside looking in, we have the Seattle Seahawks and the Detroit Lions. And then in a little bit of weirdo, stupid baseball news that really fucking pissed me the fuck off. So I was all excited last week because, you know, it was announced that the San Francisco Giants were signing Carlos Correa to one of the biggest contracts of all time and blah, blah, blah. And I was excited because there is one thing that the Giants need, and that's they needed to be active in free agency this year. Not with the little bullshit that they've signed so far. I mean, we already lost Carlos Rodon, our only standout player last year. So we don't have him, but we've made some moves, but nothing groundbreaking. Carlos Correa was the groundbreaking player. So yesterday, he was supposed to have his press conference and be announced as with his signing with the Giants, and at last minute, the press conference was canceled. They said there was an issue with his physical. After he took his physical, him and the Giants apparently, they didn't see eye to eye on something. So then I wake up this morning and I see breaking news. Carlos Correa has signed with the New York Mets for 12 years, $315 million. And I'm like, fuck that shit. First of all, congratulations to the Mets. They have now spent $800 million this offseason on all the free agency signings they made. As a matter, and these aren't bullshit signings. They are making some really damn good signings. As a matter of fact, it's looking like we're going to have a New York versus New York World Series, and I know that's going to piss a lot of people off. It doesn't piss me off because I don't have any hatred towards really either of those teams. But as a matter of fact, I would encourage it, especially with if you look at their rosters, they both should be damn fucking good and interesting teams to watch this season, that's for sure, at least on paper. You never know what's going to happen. But I'm just really, really, really fucking pissed off at the San Francisco Giants because now what the fuck are y'all going to do? We didn't get Aaron Judge. We didn't get Trey Turner. We lost Carlos Rodon. What the fuck are we going to do? There aren't any, like, legit free agents left. We have a bunch of, like, just, like, dudes who could just fit in here and fit in there. But we ain't got no Carlos fucking Correa on the team. And that really pissed me off. So I am expecting a really shitty season yet again from the San Francisco Giants because of this dumb shit right here. And then in a bit of sad news to end the show today, unfortunately, one of the greatest players of all time in the NFL, Pittsburgh Steelers legendary running back Franco Harris, passed away at the age of 72 today. Not sure what happened. It doesn't really matter. I mean, death is death in my opinion. But he was the dude. If you've been listening to the show or if you know me, you know I am not only a huge fan of sports, but I am a huge fan of just the history of all sports, and especially the NFL in particular. I have watched every Super Bowl from one to the last one, multiple times, by the way, and I love watching old highlights, and I love reading up and just looking up about old players and just watching old highlights of old players. And Franco Harris was a beast. He won four Super Bowls with the Pittsburgh Steelers. He basically turned this organization around after he was drafted by the Pittsburgh Steelers. They had a stacked team, but he was like the the beginning of the building block that was the dynasty of the Pittsburgh Steelers of the 70s. Now, this team, they were known for their defense, but if you knew on offense, you had to go up against Franco Harris. That dude was a motherfucker. He would truck everybody down like there was no tomorrow. He was, of course, involved in one of the greatest, most legendary plays of all time, the Immaculate Reception. It's kind of odd, the timing of his death, because this weekend is the 50th anniversary of the Immaculate Reception. And, I mean, if you don't recall, so that was the the Oakland Raiders versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. It was a playoff game. And Jack Tatum winds up, you know my dude Jack Tatum, he winds up, hits the receiver, ball pops out, and this is like a fourth down play. Pops up in the air, and there's Franco Harris. The ball just magically goes to him. He barely catches the ball. He runs it in for a touchdown and wins the game for the Steelers. And that's basically the beginning of that dynasty and just the run that they went on. And it really all started with him. But it's just crazy because since it's the 50th anniversary this weekend, the Raiders and the Steelers are playing each other in Pittsburgh. And they were actually going to retire Franco Harris's number this weekend as well. That's basically the last achievement of dude's career. So unfortunately, he didn't get to see that. But, you know, if you know anything about Franco Harris, or if you want to go look up anything about Franco Harris, the dude was a legend. He accomplished just about everything a football player could accomplish. So really, the retirement of his number with the Steelers is really just a cherry on top. And, you know, he knew it was coming, so it's not like that heartbreaking, but it's just kind of weird, the timing of it all. So they were going to be celebrating Franco Harris anyways this weekend, but now it's going to be just a celebration of his amazing career. And I have a feeling, you know, the Steelers, not a very good team this year, but I kind of have a feeling if there's going to be one game they really step it up for this season, it's going to be this one. With that being said, you all know I usually pick my top 5 or top 10 lists on Fridays. They usually are topical, so obviously I'm going to be doing my top 5 list on the top 5 Franco Harris moments. And that Immaculate Reception, I imagine, is going to make it somewhere on there. But yeah, I'm going to have to definitely put together a list for him, so there's something to look forward to on Friday. And so I will talk to you guys on Wednesday. Today is Wednesday. Wow, what a dumb motherfucker. I will talk to you guys on Friday.